This is the 4501 Podcast, episode 21, Traveling to Rome on a Budget. Hey, Tony, how's it going?
I'm not too bad. How are you, Mark?
I'm okay. We just survived a major kind of, I guess the humidity is returning to Maryland and the heat is coming back. So, you know, it's starting to get hot. Like yesterday was 90. How's the temperature in Madrid?
I'm actually not in Madrid right now. I'm in Zaragoza, Spain.
Where's that?
It's east of Madrid, in the coast from Barcelona. North of Valencia. So it's like 70 degrees here today.
Okay. What have you been doing?
I stayed in Madrid for 3 days, toured around there. It was very nice, very hot. I went up to the north coast expecting to go to the beach, but it's so different up there. It's like cold and rainy, like 50s, 60s.
Oh, wow.
So I only spent a couple of days there. Now I'm in Saratoga, which is warmer because it's more south, and I'm touring around again here. I just got here yesterday.
Okay, I got you. That sounds cool, though. I mean, regardless, it's a different place, right?
But for sure, I really like it. I like Spain.
Yeah, and so we're going to talk about another European country for today's podcast that, you know, honestly feels like that when I was there, it was in August and it was super, super, super warm. So that country is Italy. Specifically, we're going to be talking about traveling to the city of Rome on a budget, because I've been there and Tony's been there at different times, but I kind of made it a priority to try to save money on that leg, because it was the first leg of a European trip for 2 weeks, and we wanted to just kind of save enough money for Paris and London, because those are kind of more expensive cities. Tony, what about you?
Yeah, that was also the second leg of my trip. I was down in Sicily before that, and I did a road trip down there, and then I flew up to Rome before ultimately going to Naples and then India. And so this was back in 2017, is it, or 18? I forget. But it doesn't matter. Either way, also budget conscious at this point, because I had a lot of stuff ahead of me. So I'm excited to talk about this topic with you and see if we can help our listeners with this topic as well.
Yeah. So did you want to go over kind of how someone gets to Rome on a budget? Or, I mean, you obviously have to fly from wherever you are. Let's just say we're from the East Coast of the United States. I guess we can bring up that your favorite airline has gone under at this point.
Oh, yes. Damn. So, wow. Airlines was my go-to to getting to Europe from the United States, because although they had a short layover in Iceland, the tickets were super cheap. I forget exactly how much I spent to get to Europe. I flew into Barcelona first from Baltimore via, you know, Reykjavik? Am I saying that? Reykjavik in Iceland. And well under $400, I would say, for my one way, which is great.
Yeah, I mean, I believe that entirely. But unfortunately, that airline is no more. So I've explained how I got to Rome, we didn't actually pay for our flights. So we used points on that.
Mm-hmm.
And so we don't have to rehash that now, but if you're interested in hearing about that kind of stuff, go back to listen to our podcast about award travel. I forget, maybe like episode 15, 13.
Yeah. Yeah.
Something
five or six episodes back. Yeah.
Yeah. So go check out the episode about award travel. But in any case, yeah. So we flew Delta there. We connected through Atlanta. It was fun.
Nice. Do you remember? Oh, yeah, you use points, so that's perfect. You paid $0 then.
Yeah, but I think if you were going the traditional route, in that case, if it wasn't like a budget airline, Delta's not a budget airline. It's a normal carrier. Mm-hmm. I think if you booked early enough, you probably could have gotten the flight for about $500 to $600 one way. And obviously if you booked round trip, that would have been a little bit cheaper. I remember like a couple weeks before, it was probably about $1,000 one way, which is pretty expensive.
Wow. Yeah, I'd say.
Yeah, but also when you're traveling on a budget, right, one of the things you need to think about is timing, right? I went in August. Do you remember what month you went in?
It was January.
Yeah, and so obviously if you, I believe the height of tourism season is July, August, right before school starts. Mm-hmm. And so if you possibly went in September or before, maybe in spring, you know, those flights would be cheaper because it's just not touristy season.
Right. Oh, yeah. The airlines definitely do jack up prices based on demand.
Yeah. And so I think if you avoid the summer months, well, A, it's cheaper, but B, it's not as freaking hot.
Yeah. So it's two pluses there.
Yeah. August was really hot. And the one thing when we were in Rome, we got hit with a lot of random like rainstorms. And I don't know why that is. I don't know if that's common either.
I do remember your pic. Yeah, and you have your YouTube video with the rain. That was crazy.
Yeah.
That was intense.
So we can get into a little bit about what you do in Rome on a budget. But going off of the storm stuff, we just finished up kind of touring the Colosseum, and we were walking through the Roman Forum, which is right next to it. And as we're waiting in line to get into the Roman Forum, you could see these clouds moving in. And at the top of the Roman Forum, there's a giant hill, and you could actually see like these really dark and foreboding clouds hovering above the Colosseum, coming towards you closer and closer and closer and closer. And then it started raining crazy. And so we were trapped in the Roman Forum because of the rain for probably a good 20 minutes.
Oh, wow. That probably gave you some good epic pictures as those clouds were approaching the Colosseum.
Yeah, I think it's on my Instagram. I think it's Mac_Cortez. I think it's the Mac Cortez one.
We'll embed that in the show notes, which will be available at the451podcast.com/21 if you're interested.
Yep, exactly. So let's talk about what you did while you were in Rome. Like, or I guess we can talk about what are the major things to do in Rome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. I was there for 3 days and I spent most of my time just walking around and exploring this historical city. I think the main attractions would be the Colosseum, Palatine Hill, and the Roman Forum. Did you get that trifecta ticket for all three of those?
So there was a trifecta ticket. But what we did, I forget if it's called differently, but we got something called the Roma Pass.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And so this is a pro tip for, I don't remember if, I think it's different than the trifecta ticket, but the Roma Pass, basically you have to go to kind of like a tourist, I don't want to call it a station, but like, so I guess I should backtrack. When we got to Rome, we flew into, FCO, which is the Roman airport. That's actually 30 minutes away from the city.
Yeah.
And so we took a train from we took a plane from the airport to downtown Rome. I think it's called Termini Station. Mm-hmm. And in Termini Station, if you go down a couple levels, it's weird. It's like this random kiosk, and then you can buy a Roma Pass there. And what the Roma Pass does is it gives you unlimited subway and bus rides for like 3 days. And while you're there, you can go to two different Roman attractions, like the Colosseum, the Forum, the Castiel, St. Angelo, whatever it's called, like different, I guess, tourist destinations. You get two of those for free. And then, I mean, that's it.
But that's awesome.
Yeah, but I think it only costs like 30, maybe 20. I think it's like 30 euros. I don't think it's that expensive.
Okay. From my recollection, I think the trifecta pass was 12 euros by itself, which would get you into the Colosseum, Palatine Hill, Roman Forum. And it was about €1.5 for one way on the subway. So I guess depending on how frequently you're going to use the subway and the buses, it's your call. And I guess how long you're going to be there, it's your call, which option is more budget friendly. But that's great. I did not know about the Roma pass, and I wish I did know about that.
Yeah. I mean, it was really convenient because the bus and the subway system, the subway works really well, actually. I think the one going north to south, the one on the Colosseum line, is really nice. The one going west to east is a little bit dated, but I mean, that's just like, cause I took those, like the north to south one just had better cars, like subway cars.
Mm-hmm.
Or newer ones, but thinking about it, it was pretty well worth it because I forget what actually the, like, for two people it turns out fine. Like we were able to, we just wanted to get a bus pass and figure out how to get to, because we didn't stay, we kind of stayed in the center of the city, and so all the places were within walking distance, but yeah. It was kind of hot and we didn't want to walk that much.
Yeah.
So we just hopped on a bus, and the bus was able to take us to a lot of the tourist destinations like the Vatican and stuff like that.
That is one good thing about a bus versus a subway. You do get to like look out the window and see the sights, whereas you're underground in the subway and you can't see much. So if the weather is good enough, I'd recommend walking, and you're in shape, obviously, but past that, if it's hot as hell, like it was when you were there, Mark, bus is definitely the way to go.
Yeah, and so the one thing I do remember, this is distinct. If you're going to go see these places, you do need to book. Okay, so prices are kind of locked in. You can't really see them on a budget. I mean, you can get them probably as a package, but the prices are what the prices are. There's really nothing you can do about that unless you like go to a ticket scalper. But what I would say is like you need to book these in advance online if you can, or get the Roma pass. So the one thing about the trifecta, did that have an expedited entry into the Roman Colosseum?
I remember waiting in line. It wasn't too bad because it was off season. I'm sure it was a lot busier when you were there.
Yeah. And so the Roman pass actually had you could get expedited entry into all these places. So that's another thing. If you, I'll show you when I show you the picture on my Instagram, if you look at that line on that picture, that's the line for the standard entry to get into Rome, to Colosseum. Mm-hmm. And the Roma pass probably was about 30 people deep. If you waited in line for the standard entrance, the standard admission, you would have waited in line for like 4 hours, no lie, because it was long. It literally wrapped around a quarter or like something like that of the Colosseum. A quarter to a third of the Colosseum was wrapped with just people waiting in line.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's one thing that you need to think about. Like, these attractions are popular. A lot of people are going to go to them. Book early.
Absolutely. And the expedited pass, that's so critical, especially if your time is not, you don't have a lot of time, right?
Yeah. I mean,
standing in line for 4 hours.
Yeah. We stayed in Rome for 3 days like you, and we wanted to take it. I think 3 days was enough. You know, we got to see the Vatican one day. We got to see the Colosseum another day. Maybe that was the same day actually. But we got to do what we wanted to do. And I think 3 or 4 days would be plenty of time to see Rome.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. That's perfect time. Unless you want to spend like, if you're a history buff, you could spend weeks there at all the museums and especially the Vatican, right? Like the Vatican, I feel like I barely scratched the surface of the Vatican when I was there. There's just so much to see there.
Yeah, no, exactly. So one thing about the Vatican is that they have all these different kind of tours. Like they have a tour to look at. Well, the main tour is the one looking at the Vatican Museum, right? Did you do that one?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so that
I did not do any guided tours.
Oh, you didn't do the guided tour. You just walked in.
Yes.
Okay. So the another thing about the guided tours, if you do a guided tour, you get an expedited entry into the Vatican Museum. If not, you got to wait in line with all the peasants, and that's not fun, especially in the heat.
Yeah.
It was, we booked it a couple days in advance. It worked out well for us. Like I said, we got expedited entry. And what I remember is that the tour guide we had was pretty good. And we got to see, I mean, everything, and we learned about everything. We met a different couple. So we also went to go see the Pope do Angelus, like, which are just like prayers. And we met this old couple there.
Yes.
And they actually took a different tour. So they took a tour of like the catacombs. Like, so people don't realize this, but the St. Peter's Basilica was built upon, like, I don't say hundreds, it's a lot. Like, many, 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 many temples and other stuff, because Rome has been, I think it's just been rebuilt a lot based on popes and emperors and stuff like that. Like, people just tore down that church and built a new one. And so there's, like, it's layers on layers on layers and layers of churches beneath St. Peter's Basilica. And that you could actually go see the catacombs beneath it, and you can actually see kind of the history behind building that church.
You did this? Did you do this?
No, an old couple we met did this.
Oh, okay, okay. It sounds really cool. I would definitely do a tour for that.
Yeah, and so, I mean, like, you, this is just going back to the point where you can do many different tours on like St. Peter's Basilica. Like, I think there's one where you can actually go to the top of the dome.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, there's different ones. You just got to find them.
Yeah, yeah. Do your research for sure. I did not do any research going into this. I did everything like the day before, the day of, and it works out, right? But you don't know about these cool little things, right? You just you have to inform yourself.
Yeah, I mean, the biggest thing I would take away from traveling to Rome is that you need someone who's been there. And we have been here, and you're listening to this episode, and we were telling you what the best thing to do is.
That's very true. I guess with that, the stuff that's not worth doing, did you go to the Circus Maximus?
I did not do that, no.
Oh my God, I was so pumped to go there because you learn about it in Latin class, and I took like, I don't know, a decade of Latin classes throughout my life. And it was such a letdown because it was just this field without even like a stadium or anything. It was completely like there was barely any ruins left. So basically just imagine a grass field with some stones, a very long grass field with stones. And I don't know, I was just like so disappointed because I thought it was going to be something cool and epic like all the other ruins, but this was just like, yeah, you know. So that's one thing you don't have to see.
Did you go to the Forum?
Yes.
Did you like the Forum? So the Forum is better than Circus Maximus.
Oh yeah, 100%. Yeah, okay. The Forum is actually, there's stuff to see there.
Okay, so that's a good thing to do. Okay, what else did you do? So we went to the Vatican, we did the Roman Colosseum, we went to the Forum, we went to a lot of churches.
A lot of churches, yes. You could, it's, don't feel like these churches are open to the public. So if you're not Catholic or whatever, you can just still walk in and walk around and check it out. Any of them. There's so many, like every block, there's probably like a church.
Yeah.
The
one thing I would say about that, kind of going off of that, is that, you know, these churches do have policies about how you can go in because they are technically sacred worship sites. And so basically, I think for ladies, you can't have like bare shoulders. So sometimes some of them have like shawls or blankets to put on your shoulders. And for guys, you're technically supposed to like not show your knees. Did you know that?
Oh, really? No.
Yeah.
Were you wearing shorts?
I was, but some people were wearing shorts and they didn't get yelled at. I think it was more for the girls. Like, if you had long shorts covering your knees, I think that was fine. But for me, I think I wore like, obviously this is going to depend on season, right? But right. I got a pair of pants that had the zipper, like they zippered at the knees.
Yes, yes.
So I wore those, and I think towards the end, I just wore shorts. Like, I think for the Vatican, I definitely wore those long pants with the zippers on it. But for everything else, like if we didn't go in, it wasn't the end of the world. But that's one thing you do got to think about. Some churches are a lot more strict than others about that policy. And so kind of wearing the appropriate clothing does make sense, but your mileage may vary.
Yeah. And don't worry really, because although they speak Italian and Italy, there's lots of English signs, especially in Rome. So you're not going to be like lost in a foreign land and not knowing what's going on. There'll be signs and whatnot posted, so you can adhere to all the rules and No worries. No worries.
Yeah. And so let's bring this back to the topic of traveling to Rome on a budget. What do you have any budget saving advice to give?
One of my all time favorite hostels that I've ever stayed in was in Rome. It was called the Dreaming Rome Hostel. And it was like this small little like niche hostel. And when I mean small, it's like, I don't know, maybe like maximum capacity of 15 or 20 people. They include a breakfast and dinner in the hostel. So for breakfast, I don't know, some pastries and whatnot, fresh fruit and all that. Dinner, pasta, different types of pasta every night. That only cost me €64, sorry, for 3 nights. And I know you stayed in a hotel, Mark, is that right?
Yeah, we did.
I know for sure, like throughout Europe, the hostels are going to cost right around the same amount, but this was actually like, I guess a little bit on the cheaper side. And, I don't know. Most of the time, except for eating breakfast and dinner and sleeping, I was outside exploring. So if you don't prioritize, your privacy, then I would recommend staying in this specific hostel or a hostel in Rome to save some money.
Do you remember what area it was in?
It was probably like a 10-minute walk outside of the central area. So you did have to walk or take a bus in and out every time. But if time permits, I would say I recommend it. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, we stayed at this hotel. It was like a very small, it was actually the smallest hotel I've ever been in. I don't know how they could, it was more like a B&B.
Oh, cool.
Because there's one, two, maybe like four rooms in this place. It was really crazy. It was called the Dimora Digli Dei, I think. That was it. yeah, but it was actually like really cool. It was very personalized. The rooms in Europe are a lot smaller. So that's the first thing. I think we only paid like $120 per night, which is pretty good. Mm-hmm. And basically they gave us breakfast every morning. It's a pretty decent spread too. Like you could select what you want for breakfast every day, and they brought it to you in the morning. So we saved some money there. And then basically the room was pretty, the only thing that was weird was the bathroom, but I mean, whatever, it is what it is.
Yeah.
But they had Wi-Fi and everything. It was pretty, I was happy with it. It's weird. The European kind of like 3-star, 4-star, 5-star hotels, like rating system is kind of skewed compared to like US, because like a 3-star hotel in Europe is not that bad. Like it's almost like a 4-star here.
Oh, nice. Nice.
Yeah.
So you get extra for the same amount.
Yeah, and I was pleasantly surprised by it. So I stayed near the Pantheon. Do you remember the Pantheon?
Yeah.
Not the Parthenon. Everyone gets confused. The Parthenon is in Greece. The Pantheon is in Italy.
Yeah, yeah.
Although I think there's a Pantheon in Paris too. But in any case, the Pantheon in Italy, in Rome, that's we actually stayed like a block away from there. And so,
really,
yeah. Well, the Pantheon, yeah. And so, it was super, easy to get to. But the Pantheon, if you look on a map of Rome, it's super centralized too. So that's what I mean. Like, we stayed right in the middle of like the old part of the city, but we were able to kind of navigate around to everywhere, either by buses, subway, or walking.
Mm-hmm. That's really cool. That's a really cool area and super convenient. So that was a good call on your part, staying there.
Yeah. No. We loved it. I mean, it's kind of interesting to get there because we got dropped off by the bus and like you have to walk there because you buses aren't allowed in that kind of district. And I forget what it's called, but you have to kind of walk a few blocks to get there. But a lot of people in Europe are doing that, like, or a lot of people in Rome will do that because since it is an ancient city, you just have to make sure that like cars don't go where they're not supposed to go.
Mm-hmm. I got you. One other budget tip that I want to give you guys is, like you mentioned, Mark, you took the train from FCO airport to the terminal station in Rome. I remember that costing 14 euros and I did the same exact thing to get to the city. But on the way back, if you want to save a couple bucks, you could take a bus from the same terminal station back to the airport. And that will only cost you 6 euros. Take a little bit longer, but just, you know, every dollar counts.
Yeah, it does. It does. But I think where did we go after that? Did we leave from Rome? Oh, no. So actually for us, so we did kind of like the three city trip. So we went to Florence after that, and then from Florence to Venice. What I will say that for that, you need to, for if you're booking a train just between cities, right? So going from Rome to Florence, if you want to get like cheap tickets and you're from the United States, go on like, I forget, it's realeurope.com or something like that. They're basically these sites that'll help you out. Or you can just go through Italo. Italo is the brand name of the train, or I'm going to butcher this, Frecarosa. Frecarosa.
Wow.
I think it's Frecarosa. So those are the two brand names. Frecarosa is the one owned by like the Italian government or helped by the Italian government. Italo is like a private train company. So if you're in the United States, we don't really have a private train company, but Frecarosa would be the equivalent of like Amtrak.
Does okay. that make sense? Yes. Yes.
Yeah. And so the thing about that, they have really weird seat classification systems. And it's like first class, second class, third class. But I mean, they're all nice train tickets, mm-hmm. Trains. Mm-hmm. Like it's not like your Indian excursion.
Right, right.
Yeah. And so sometimes you can get the price. And so you should always monitor the prices and kind of book earlier, because sometimes a third class ticket will be more expensive than a second class ticket.
Oh.
Or a second class ticket may be more expensive or less expensive than a first class ticket. Like it actually varies.
Wow.
A lot.
Wow.
And so when we took the train up to Florence, we got like a second class ticket, I think, which came with like private seats and stuff like that. Like solo seats, for cheaper than a third class ticket. And, what was cool for that is that we actually were able to book kind of like the middle two seats of the car. And so they're both single seats, but they were facing each other. Mm-hmm. So like think of like the middle, like all the solo seats are facing towards the inside of the car. And so we were able to book those two middle seats, and we had a table in front of us, and we were just, it was such a cool experience because I've never done that before.
Yeah. I'm sure the views of the countryside were pretty epic.
Yeah, going through Tuscany up to Florence was amazing.
That's so cool. How long did it take you? Do you remember?
An hour. I think it might have been like two and a bit. It wasn't like super long, but it was really nice. I mean, I actually think that class came with like a snack too, like a snack and a drink, which isn't like super glamorous, but it was more than what you got for like third class.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, it's something, right?
Yeah. No. Definitely. Okay, so I think we're running a little bit short on time here. Is there anything else you want to talk about, Tony?
Not specific to the topic, but I do want to know what your favorite meal was in Italy.
Okay, so this is weird. I had a different opinion of Italian food. Mm. Like I think coming back from it, I think I like American Italian food better than Italian food.
Interesting.
It's probably sacrilege. Well, I think it's just I'm not used to their portion sizes. It's definitely a portion thing. The taste thing was great. Mm-hmm. But I think it's just like I'm not used to them like having pasta as like a side dish rather than like a main dish.
Right. Okay.
You know.
Did you had pizza though, right? Well,
we did have the pizza. I think my favorite, the pizza there is actually really good. If you're going to Rome, there is a great pizza. It's actually, I think it's a chain, but it tasted really good if you're from the U.S. It's called Alice, Alice.
Mm-hmm.
Alice Pizza. And that place, you don't pay per slice, you pay per gram, I think. And so you can just get different types of pizzas, pay for it, and then like paper pound or yeah, it's gram. Mm-hmm. And then you can just eat that. But that tasted great. Like that was amazing pizza for some reason.
I'm telling you, like the pizza in Italy was the best pizza I've ever had compared to any, besides Grotto in the US.
Oh my God. No, Grotto's not good pizza.
Oh, it's delicious.
Yeah. If you're Amish and you don't have a good pizza place in Amish land.
Right. I have to go to the beach to get it. No, I don't know. I just love the food there. I'm not a big pasta fan, but there's definitely plenty of pasta. Desserts like gelato, cannolis. Yeah, and drinks like wine, beer. It's half the fun, I think, of going to Italy is tasting the food.
Yeah, and so maybe you can't really find good food in a budget, unfortunately. I don't think so. It's really tough.
Yeah. If you're going to have to pay for that, unless you know a local, that could tell you like a local spot, but that's a topic for another conversation.
Yeah, definitely. All right, man. Well, enjoy the rest of your... Where are you again? You're not in Madrid. You're in Valparaíso. Is
that it? Zaragoza. Zaragoza. Zaragoza.
All right. Well, enjoy. And are you going... Did you say you were going to end up at the beach or no?
I was already there and it was too cold at the North Coast. So maybe I'll go to Valencia next and check out the beach there.
Okay. Wait, so what's your next stop? Valencia?
Yes, but it's not planned yet. Looking into it.
Okay. All right. Well, have a good one, man.
Thank you.
And I guess I'll let you end this so I don't screw it up or do screw it up. So go ahead.
Like we normally do. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for listening to this episode of the 45-1 podcast. We will see you next week.
All right. Take it easy. Hey everyone, thanks for listening to this episode. Please follow us on Twitter at the 451 Podcast to keep up with the latest news and events. If you have any suggestions for episodes or would like to contact us, shoot us an email at the451podcast@gmail.com.